We're in the middle of Torah Aleph in Likutei Moran. We're up to the last paragraph. We'll continue from where we left off just to complete the last paragraph, and then we'll go back and summarize and clarify and tie everything together. Mitzvah Shem. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Vezehu Ashrei Tmimei Derech Ha'Hilchem B'Torah Hashem." That the summary of everything we learned in this first chapter is found in a pasuk in Tehillim. The opening pasuk in Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes in Tehillim, where the pasuk says, "Fortunate are those people who are tmimei derech, who walk with sincerity, with simplicity, and they walk with the Torah of Hashem. They go with the guidance of Hashem." Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ashrei loshen histaklus." The word "ashrei" means to look carefully. The word "loshur" in Hebrew means an inyan of histaklus, looking closely at something. Tmimei derech, bechinas v'Yaakov ishtam. Tmimus symbolizes Yaakov Avinu. We know his name, his title in the Torah is Tam. Shehu bechinas haseichel kanal. We refer it in this Torah earlier to Yaakov Avinu as being the concept of Sechel, the Shemesh, the moon, the sun, the light of the sun. And we explained a lot about it earlier. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu lizkois lehistakel ala Sechel shiesh b'chol dover. Yaakov Avinu represents the concept of a Yid being Zeche, to look for and to look at the Sechel, that's found, the wisdom that's found in every item in creation. Shehu bechinas Yaakov ishtam. That's this concept of Yaakov ishtam. Ze zeichen al yidei Torah. For a person to be zeiche, to get to a level where their eyes are open to such an extent that when they look at anything that's happening or any object in creation, they're looking for the seichel in that object. That's the bechina of Yaakov Avinu, who is the inyan of Sechel, Chochma. We say that the word Yaakov, the targum on the word Vayaakveni is Vachakmeni. When Esav said Vayaakveni, Hachi Koroshmo Yaakov, he has this name Yaakov, and that's what really shows what he is. Vayaakveni ze pamayim, he tricked me twice. The targum on Vayaakveni is Vachakmeni. He outsmarted me. So we see that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Chochmah. Also, the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu once said, when Yosef HaTzadik saw in his dream, he saw the Shemesh and the Oreach and the Achad Osor Koychovim Mishtachvim Li. He saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to him. The Medrash says that when Yaakov Avinu heard this dream, Yaakov Avinu said, "Mi gilo lochem sheshemesh shmi." Who revealed to you that my name is the sun? No, how did Yosef HaTzadik know that my symbol is the sun? That Yaakov Avinu is represented by the light of the sun. So we see that he represents this Seichel Dikdusha. What's Seichel Dikdusha? What's called Seichel Dikdusha? Person who knows how to add, knows how to subtract. That's not Seichel Dikdusha. Seichel Dikdusha means a Seichel that leads a person close to Hashem. A Seichel which opens up a person's eyes to such an extent that anything that they see brings them close to Hashem. As we quoted the pasuk, "Vatipokachno einei shnehem." It says by Adam and Chava, their eyes were pikeach. Their eyes were smart. Smart in what sense? It takes a smart person to see that that's a fan, or to see that the wall is white. That takes a smart person. That's not smart. It takes a smart person to see a wall and a fan and see through it and see behind it and see what's the tachlis of this. Where did it come from? Where is it going to? What purpose could it possibly have? How could I best use this in a way that'll really be meaningful, that'll really be effective for eternity? Not for 10 minutes, not for 70 years, but something that really, really is tachlis. V'zehu ha'chilchem b'toras Hashem. This is why the pasuk says, how is a person zeche to this ashrei tmimei derech? How is a person zeche to look with seichel? The answer is through ha'chilchem b'toras Hashem. Kal yidei sheloimei Torah b'koyach. through a person studying Torah powerfully, with strength, with concentration, and with effort, that's what gives strength and power to the Malchus of Kedusha, the Kingdom of Holiness, which is symbolized by the letter Nun, Lifnei Shemesh Yinoin Shemoi, about Shlomo HaMelech, whose kingdom was, that's the Shlemus of the Kingdom of Klal Yisrael. The Zohar HaKadosh says that during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Siharo Bashlemusa, the moon was Bishlemus, meaning the Malchus of Klal Yisrael was Bishlemus. The Gemara says he was Molach Al Elyonim V'Tachtonim, that everybody acknowledged and accepted his kingdom, so that he represents Shlemus of Malchus. And what is, how is he symbolized? Yinoin. He is the Nun. So Rabbi Nazal says, "Kal yidei shloim et Torah b'koyach, hayidei zeh noisim koyach l'malchus d'kedusha b'chinas Nun, l'kabel menasechel shehu b'chinas ches." When a person is zoche to learn Torah b'koyach, he gives the malchus d'kedusha the strength to receive from the ches, from the chokhma. V'azay nasechein. And this creates, this generates chen for the person. V'niskablim dvorov kanal. And this person's words are very welcome to Hashem. His words become very easily accepted by Hashem. His words of tefillah. V'azai nisale hachen v'chashivu shel Yisrael. And then the charm and the significance, the importance of Klal Yisrael begins to receive recognition. It's recognized lamato by all the nations of the world. It's recognized lamalo by the malochim, and it's recognized especially by Hashem. Hashem sees, views the yidden with chen and chashivus. V'chol hatfilois v'abakoshois niskablim. And once the yidden are zeicha to that chen and chashivus, automatically any tfilois or any bakoshois that they present to Hashem will readily be accepted. Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude this first Torah. Now, let's go back a little bit and discuss, not long and not deep, very simple, but try to see if we could understand a little bit more Ma'asi, Lamaisa, what Rabbi Nazal was talking about here and what he wants us to walk away with from this Torah. Rabbi Nazal began saying that the key to having one's tefillos and bakoshos accepted by Hashem is Torah. During this chapter, he explained that it's not enough just Torah, it has to be Torah b'koyach. That through the limud of Torah b'koyach, that's what makes a person's tefillos and bakoshos be very easily accepted by Hashem. When we talk about Torah b'koyach, what are we talking about? Number one, the Gemara makes a difference between a Jew learning Torah versus reading a newspaper or reading anything else, lahavdol. That Torah is not learned by looking at a sefer, just looking at the sefer. Torah is learned by mouthing the words. A person must speak the words when he's learning by himself. When you're learning by yourself, you must vocalize the words. And the more effort a person puts into that, that the limud should be done with a niggin and with sound and with enthusiasm, with koyach, that's the Malchus Digdusha associated with the Torah, as we're going to see soon. But Rabbi Nazal stresses that point. Naturally, when a person is not learning himself, when he's listening to a shir, he's not responsible to be verbalizing the words or vocalizing them. Then he learns with his eyes. The Pasuk says, V'hoyu einecha royes esmoirecha, that a person learns by looking at the eyes of the one that's teaching. And here again, there's a difference in terms of intensity, in terms of concentration. You can have a person who's learning and only using part of their brain, only focusing part of their attention on what they're doing. And you know, have another person that's learning Torah b'koyach, where the person is pulling together at all parts of their brain and all parts of their body and focusing it on the Torah, concentrating it on the Torah. That's the kind of Torah Rabbi Nazal is talking about here. And Rabbi Nazal explained that once a person is zoche to acquire, Rabbi Nazal said the main reason why the tefillos and bakoshos of Bnei Yisrael aren't effective is because they're lacking chen. Once a person is zeichet to have this chen, the tefillah is simbakoshis will easily be answered, and the Torah is the key to chen. Then Rabbeinu Zal started discussing looking at the seichel in every object and attaching yourself to the seichel, and then using that to bring you close to Hashem. He discussed three items. One is a search. You have to look for the seichel. A second is to be mekashe yourself with that seichel. And the third is to use that as a means of bringing you closer to Hashem. We have examples of this when a person sees fruit, when a person sees a tree, and the Torah says there's a bracha for looking at a tree, there's a birchas v'ilonos for looking at this item. Again, what are you looking at? When a Jew looks at a tree, what does he see? He's supposed to see the elokus in it. He's supposed to see the light of Hashem in this item. The chiddush that this could not possibly be man-made, that scientists, with all their intellect and with all their machinery, there's no way in the world they can duplicate life. The fact that this item is alive, the fact that it's conceivable to take a seed and throw it in the ground, and you're throwing it in the ground knowing that placing it in the ground, this seed is going to rot. That's what's going to happen to it. And after it rots, through some magic, which could only be the power of Hashem, from this rotted seed is going to come forth a huge, tremendous tree that can produce fruit and nourishment and reproduce fruit every year and everything. And again, a person who plants, what is he relying on? What determines whether that's going to grow or not? There's a dependency on Hashem. Hashem is the Hashem meimis u'mechaye. If Hashem opts to provide water, to provide geshem, bracha, that's what determines whether this thing is going to succeed or fail. This is a simple example in a tree. We have this in any business venture that a person undertakes, in anything that a person is dealing with. This is the whole, to look for the elokus in it, and to use it as a means of binding yourself to Hashem. To use it as an excuse to be mispalel to Hashem. What binds a person to Hashem? If a person takes every single item that they see in creation and they use it as an excuse either to thank Hashem, I acknowledge the presence of Hashem in the trees and the plants, in my parnosa and my family and everything that I see, and also using it as an excuse, asking Hashem to show me how I can use this item to bring me close to Hashem. Whether it's a chair to sit on to learn, whether it's a house that should be filled with a lot of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, whether it's a wife that she should be an ezer, not a kenegdoi, whether it's children, all the different things that a person has, to see to it to use those items as a means of bringing yourself closer to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal said, that's the sinyan of the ches, is the histaklus at the seichel, the chochmah, which we explained, and the nun is the malchus. Now just again, what are we talking about here in terms of malchus? The Mefarshim here explain that the term malchus in Kabbalah is used to refer to tzimtzum. Any time that we're talking about limiting something, constricting something, that's the sinyan of malchus. Malchus is the keli, kol hanacholim hoilchem elayam, the posuk says, all streams feed into the ocean. The ocean is the malchus, yam shel shloimoi, that's the malchus, into which all the other streams pour their light into. All the other spheros are mashpia into the malchus. The malchus is the clay kibul into which everything else is mashpia. The Mefarshim explain here that when we talk about a malchus related to this chachmah, it means a person knowing that it's not enough just chachmah, because man is limited in terms of chachmah. And if a person is going to go only with chachmah, a person is going to see there are questions that we don't have answers available to within this world. Rabbeinu Zal says, for example, the question of Yediyah versus Bechira. How it's possible for a Jew to say that Hashem knows everything that's going to take place tomorrow, the next day, forever into the future. Hashem knows today exactly what's going to be a week from today. And at the same time, when a week from today rolls around, you're telling me that I have free choice, I have bechira, whether to do a mitzvah or an avera, whether to do good or bad. How is it possible that those two should exist simultaneously? That on one hand, Hashem knew a week ago what I was going to do, and it's locked in, it's fixed, there's no way in the world that's going to change Hashem's yediyah, and at the same time, there is 100% bechira. Rabbeinu Zal says this is one of the paradoxes, which there are sforim that attempt to give answers to this, And Rabbi Nizal said, I dare anybody, I challenge anybody, let's see, give me an explanation to this that I can't refute. All the explanations that these people try to offer, Rabbi Nizal said, are bubamises. Because the answer to this paradox is not available now. This is one of the makifin, one of the bits of information that will only be made available after Moshiach comes. The Torah says that then there's going to be a concept of kimolo ha'oretz deyas Hashem. There's going to be a tremendous explosion of das. Then we're going to be given additional das to resolve these questions. So that means to say, you're telling me that if I want to look at certain things with seichel alone, I won't be able to come close to Hashem, because al pi seichel, I won't be able to understand why it is this way. I won't be able to understand the Hashem in this, the emes in this. What do I do then? The answer is, then I have to be prepared to be mitzamtzei my seichel. I have to be prepared to say, I don't know, and that's it. And even though I don't know, I believe. Even though I don't see elokus in this, even though I don't see the emes in this, the vadai in this, even though I'm in doubt about this, and we know normally we say sofek, the Zohar HaKadosh says sofek is bigematria amolek. Vadai is Hashem. We say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, havadai shemoi kein tehilosoi. Hashem is bechinas vadai. The opposite of Hashem is sofek, doubts. So you're going to tell me there are definitely things in this world that we are in doubt about. We do not understand. It's not vadaitas. It's not clear. How do I come close to Hashem from that item? The answer is, there is where I have to default to emunah. There is where I have to have a substantial reserve of emunah that I can switch to anytime I have to. Anytime I don't understand, I can say, even though I don't understand, it's not a problem to me. I believe. I believe that it is this way, and I believe that Hashem is to be found here, and I believe that 100%. And Rabbi Nizal says that this emunah, this malchus, leads to das. This emunah leads to seichel. Just as there's a pasuk in Chumash that's written about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was specifically waging war against Amalek, if you recall. Moshe Rabbeinu went out to do battle against Amalek, and in the end, he wasn't victorious. The Torah says, Vayachloi Yehoshua es Amalek. He weakened Amalek, he didn't destroy him. Because Milchom al Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, this battle against Amalek goes on in every generation. The whole Klal Yisrael is confronted by these speikos. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Amalek is bigimatria sofek. Amalek represents all the doubts that people have in emunah, in perfect, perfect, pure emunah in Hashem. So the Torah says, Vayachlish, they weakened him. How did they weaken him? The pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went out to do this battle, Vayihi yodov emunah ad boy Hashemesh. He raised his hands. The Targum says, Vihe yodohi prison bitzloi. His hands were outstretched in tefillah to Hashem ad boy Hashemesh, until sunset. Rabbi Nizal says, note the words here, the Mephoshim explain here. Vayihi yodov emunah. Moshe Rabbeinu started off with emunah. What was he zeichet to through emunah? Ad boy Hashemesh. The Shemesh represents chachma. The Shemesh represents seichel. Until he got to the Shemesh, until he got to understand the item, what did he use until then? Vayihi yodov emunah. He relied on his emunah. He strengthened himself, he fortified himself with emunah, and that was his stepping stone to be zeichet to seichel. Just as we say every morning when we put on the tefillin, we say ve'erastichli be'emunah v'yodat es Hashem. That first, I wed myself, I'm mekasher myself to Hashem with emunah, acknowledging that I don't understand, and I'm not the smartest person, and not everything can I understand. And through that, if I'm willing to accept that as my hagdoma, Hashem, when a yid is zeichet to be solid in emunah, Hashem gives that person additional seichel. And it goes in cycles. A person first develops a certain quantity of emunah. His reward for that 5 kilo of emunah is they give him 5 kilo of seichel. And then he completes a cycle. Once he has that, now he suddenly confronts new things that he started with emunah, and suddenly his eyes opened up, he started understanding things. Then, in the midst of his understanding things, suddenly he finds himself confronted with things he doesn't understand. What does he do then? It's time to start again with emunah. It's time for a second measure of emunah, to be able to really strengthen his emunah, that I don't understand doesn't matter. Hashem is still emes, toirosei emes. And whatever I don't understand, hopefully, if I'll fortify myself with emunah, I'll be zeicher understand. And the more Torah I learn with emunah, the more I'll be zeicher to a havon in Torah, to get to understand the Torah better. And then he gets to the next level of seichel, where he understands still more. And he keeps climbing and growing in this method. Just as in the Sfirois, when we discuss the Midos of Hashem, each cycle, each Olam, starts with Malchus. You start off with the Malchus of the Olam HaAsiyah, and then you climb and climb and climb until you get to the Chochma of the Olam HaAsiyah. That's a complete cycle. Emunah and Chochma. Once you're finished, once a person gets to the Chochma of the Olam HaAsiyah, and he wants to climb to the next level, what's the next level? The Chochma of the Olam HaYetzirah? Baloney, no way. He's got to start from the Malchus of the Olam HaYetzirah. He's starting the next set, and it begins again from Malchus. Malchus is always Emunah. The union of Emunah, we said earlier, an union of Tzimtzum, an union of showing that I don't understand, just like Malchus is the Levona. A king has no power of his own, no authority of his own, except what he's given from other people. That's this concept, this Vayhi Yod of Emunah. Then Rabbi Nizal spoke about that just as there is this Chochma and Malchus of Kedusha, there's also a Shemesh and Levona of the Sitra Achra. Rabbi Nizal said, he mentioned specifically the Levona of the Sitra Achra, the concept of the Chofra HaLevona, an embarrassed Levona, representing the Levona of the Sitra Achra. And Rabbi Nizal doesn't clearly mention here a Shemesh of the Sitra Achra, but the Meforshim on the Likutei Moran definitely do. They tell us that just as there is this Shemesh, this Chama and Levona of Kiddusha, there is also a Chama and Levona of Sitra Achra. What does it represent? Just like the Shemesh of Kiddusha represents a certain type of knowledge that's holy, that's beneficial, that's good for a person, the Shemesh of the Sitra Achra represents Chochmois Chitzonius. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses a concept. The Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Loilam Chabo. Every single Jew has a portion in Gan Eden. Chutz, except. And one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah there, Rabbi Akiva says, Chutz, except for a person who studies Chochmois Chitzonius. What are you talking about? I thought Chochmah was a great idea. I thought Kulam b'Chochmah Asisa. Everything has Chochmah in it, and Chochmah is the kesher to come close to Hashem. Yes, there is a positive Chochmah, there is a negative Chochmah. There is a Chochmah of philosophy, where a person studies in a certain manner that literally takes him away from Hashem. Where the more he learns of this type of wisdom, the less faith he has in Hashem, the less Yira Shamayim, the less mitzvahs. We see, Rav Nosson Zal says throughout the Likutei Halachos no svarim, people that got involved in that wisdom were Perek Oil Legamri. They got involved in Niyuf, they became the lowest lowlifes in the world. What do you mean? He's an intellectual. We read about these Greek philosophers and these other lowlifes, and we see that with their intellect, it buried them. Why? Because their Chochma was Chochmois Chitzonius, which was this Shemesh of the Sitra Achra. What's the Levona of the Sitra Achra? What's the Levona of Kiddusha? We said the Levona of Kiddusha is a concept of a person being able to say, I don't know, I don't understand, where it's acceptable, where he made the effort, and based on his level right now, he has to admit that he doesn't understand and he's forced to rely on Emunah. What's the Levona of the Sitra Achra? The Levona of the Sitra Achra is an I don't know that comes from laziness, that comes from not wanting to know, where you don't want to make an effort whatsoever, no interest. The person has a lack of interest in knowing. That's some tzimtzum, boy. A person has nothing, no brains at all. He has no desire for brains. That's very emunah. His emunah is perfect, b'shleimus. Why? Because he's not interested in seichel at all whatsoever. He's not interested in opening up a sefer and finding out what the Torah has to say and the whys that he's supposed to get to know. That's Rachman al-Salam, this concept of Esav, lo yachpoitz ksil besvurakim beshriris liboy. That's those people who think that life is, I'm in this world, life is short, and I'm here to have a good time. Moron, what do you mean good time? It never occurred to you that there's a logic to this place? Never occurred to you that the one who set this whole thing up wasn't a total moron and didn't just set it up as a pleasure trip? That's how dumb you perceive, that's how base you perceive the creator to be? It could be that simple, that senseless? This whole Bria is so senseless, it's just for people to go from a swimming pool to a sauna to a just good time eating, drinking, and then all being food for worms? That would make sense, that a child is born, this whole complex organisms and everything. That lack of desire completely for any level of understanding, that's this Levona of Sitra Achra, which is the opposite of the Levona of Kedusha. There's a time when a Yid is supposed to say, I don't know, and I don't want to know. Certain mysteries, the Gemara says, certain questions a Yid is not allowed to ask. That's where the Levona of Kedusha comes in. Those questions which you're supposed to ask and you're supposed to get answers for and you don't, that's this Levona, the Sitra Achra.
Let's say Goyim or that type of thing be broken down, basically categorized either as a form or a manifestation of the Shemesh of the Sitra Achra. Let's say when you talk about the philosophers or intellectual types that leave Fear of Hashem, or they're just the base grub type that are just interested in a good time, would be categorized as the Levana of the Sitra.
It's the two groups.
Two groups.
And we see again that they're not totally apart. They definitely, just like in Kedusha, we said that the Malchus feeds the Levana, feeds the Chachma, that you need the Malchus to get the Chachma, and the Malchus has to be Mekabeles es ha'or mea Chachma. So too in the Sitra Achra, each one feeds on the other. The more a person has an interest in Taivos, and follows a base type of existence, the more that person will naturally be drawn to types of chachmois that aren't constructive, to types of wisdoms that don't lead him any closer to a tachlis, to anything constructive.
Well, they just legitimize what he's doing.
Exactly. And so too, the more a person is involved in chachmas chitzenius, the more that person finds themselves drawn into leading a megushim type of life. Those two definitely both go together. Now, Rabbeinu, I'll discuss the fact that a person who commits sins is because he's a meshugana. And just as a meshugana, a person that's mentally ill, in order to cure him, it takes two things. It takes sticks. It takes a beating sometimes to knock the craziness out of somebody. We know this applies to kids. Sometimes a kid goes haywire. And sometimes it just takes a good beating and the person finds themselves becoming normal. Suddenly the craziness goes out and he starts acting normal, just that term normal. And sometimes it takes something even more powerful than that in a sense. It takes shemois, a kameya. Sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, a person goes completely nuts where it's not anymore, where a person loses their power to know what's good or bad completely. Sometimes a child is doing something wrong. They know it's wrong, but they have a taiva for it. They like it and they want to do it. Then sometimes it takes a patch. A person knows that they get pain, that it's going to hurt doing this. Then as much as they like it, they won't continue to do it. Whereas sometimes a person, chas v'shalom, loses a screw completely in the brain, where a person suddenly begins to think that what's bad is good. A person loses their power to distinguish. That's when there's really a problem, Rahman al-Islam, where there you need a miracle, there you need a kameya, an amulet, something like that, to flip the person's brain around completely. Rabbeinu Zal said that through the study of Torah B'Koyach, we solve this problem. The Meforshim explain again, this is based on the fact, because there are two types of craziness, because there's the one type of person who says, Ho'omer al-Ra Toiv, he says, this isn't bad, this is good. The Torah says that this is considered a bad item, this is bad to eat. It's not bad, it's good, it's delicious, it's healthy, it's wonderful. The Torah says not to do work on Shabbos. It's good, work is the whole beauty of life, etc. All these different things. That's one type of shigoin. the flipping around. The other type of shigoyin is where a person says, I know this isn't good, I know this is unhealthy, but I like it, but I want it, that kind of thing. For this, we have the two solutions, the maklois and the shemois, and the Torah possesses both powers. The Torah is kula shmois of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah, the luchos, were orkon vav, rochpon vav, shaped like this stick to help the person. The Mefarshim also give us an insight. We find by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu locked horns with Esav Arusha, it was on two points. The first one was the Bechira. The first thing Yaakov Avinu took away from Esav was the Bechira, the birthright, which we said in this Torah is Chochmah, Sechel, because Bechira is Rashis, the right to be first, and Rashis is Chochmah. And then through that, he was zeched to the Baracha. He was zeched to receive Asfon the Dain, Kasfon the Dain, the Zohar HaKadosh says. It's the same letters, Bechira, Bracha. Because Yaakov Avinu got the Bechira, therefore he was zeched to the Bracha. Therefore, when Esav HaRosha came to ask for the Bracha, he was told, your brother took it all, and you, Gam Baruch Tiyeh, you also should be blessed. Implying, forget it, buddy. You lost it. Now the only thing we can give you is like an afterthought. We can give you some crumbs now. The Iker was given away. Question is, how was it gotten? It was gotten through the fact that Yaakov Avinu, once he got the Bechira, automatically that locked up for him the Zechus to the Bracha. The question is why? And the answer is based on this Torah we understand. The Bechira represents Seichel Dikdusha, represents the Seichel, it represents the Torah. Through Torah, a person is zeichet to tefillah, to have his tefillah, niskabel, and nisratze. Tefillah is synonymous with bracha. What is the whole tefillah? It's brachos v'hoidos l'shimcha gadol v'kodosh. That's the whole basis of tefillah. Tefillah is blessings to Hashem, basically. Those are all tefillahs. So therefore, once a person shows that with complete sincerity, they are going after this seichel, this chokhmah, automatically, the person is zeichet to the next step, which is the tefillah. Divrei chachomim benachas nishmon. The chacham is zeichet that his diburei tefillah are solid. Through the fact that Yaakov Avinu showed a desire for the chachmah. Whereas Esav Avinu, vayivez Esav as a b'chayre, he showed disdain, Esav HaRosha, showed disdain for the bracha, for the b'chayre. That's what paved the way that when it came to the bracha, Yaakov Avinu got it, Esav couldn't. One final item, we see this whole thing actually happening in story form. When Yaakov Avinu confronted Esav HaRosha, we know that one of the items that Rabbeinu Zal stressed very much was making from Torah tefillah. Rabbeinu Zal said that the greatest pleasure to Hashem possible is when a Yid takes an item of Torah and constructs a tefillah from it, uses that as a basis for tefillah, that's what makes the tefillah most effective. That's this chachma and malchus. Where do we see an example of this? Yaakov Avinu, we find right before Yaakov Avinu confronted Esav HaRosha, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu says to Hashem, Hashem ho'oimer elai, you Hashem who said to me, Shuv el artzecha vel moiladetecha ve'etiv o'imach, that I should go back to my land and you'll be good to me. You, the Hashem, who said to me, A, B, C, D. Then he said to Hashem, Hatzileini no miad ochi miad esav ki yore anoich yoisav. Then he presented his tefillah. First he introduced it with chachma, with seichel, by quoting the words of Hashem, which is Torah. These words, Shuv el artzecha vel moiladetecha, was the command of Hashem, which was part of the Torah. He used that as an intro, as an introduction for his tefillah. And it's specifically at that time that we find that when Esav HaRosha did finally meet up with Yaakov Avinu, the Pasuk says what happened? Vayipoil al tzavoroi vayishokeil. Vusepis, Esav HaRosha fell to Yaakov Avinu, he bowed down to him, he kissed him. You don't kiss somebody unless that person is moitzi chen by you, unless that person appears to be beautiful to you, wonderful, unless that person has charm and chen. as a result of Yaakov Avinu, who is this Bechina, and it was then that when Yaakov Avinu said to Esav Rosh, Esav asked him, who are these children? He said, Hayelodim asher chonan li elikim bozeh. Yaakov Avinu said, I have been zeichet to be granted this chain. This chain was given to me by Hashem. My children have it and everything. Then Vayipoel Esav. Esav felt him. Esav was nichna because Esav saw this chain and chashivus. And when the chain and chashivus of Bnei Yisrael is oile, automatically the chain and chashivus of Esav Harosho is yoreid, goes down. One final item, Rav Nosson Zal says on Likutei Halachos, where do we find an example of this ches and the nun, specifically, in terms of our avodas Hashem, in terms of a person looking for, Rabbeinu Zal says here, a person is supposed to seek out the seichel, the chochma, but because the chochma is so high, a person can't go directly to it. They have to first pass through the nun, the malchus. And that's the stepping stone, that's the stairway leading to the chochma. Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos, this is the whole concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim. When the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim and they first became a nation, what was their first project? Their first project was a trip to Har Sinai. What were they going to be receiving on Har Sinai? Oyer, light. Kiner mitzvah v'toyra oyer. That's where this Shemesh was going to shine for them. They saw, in other words, the Oyer HaTorah was going to be presented to them over there. What was the prerequisite to it? What did they have to go through first? 50 days. Tisperu Chamishim Yoim. They had to go through a 50-day period, the Sfira Soimer. And what did they do in the Sfira Soimer? They count. What's the whole mitzvah of Sfira Soimer? Counting. Today is one day. Tomorrow is 2 days. What is that? That's tzimtzum. That's the opposite of oyer. Oyer is something that has no boundaries. It's intangible. It's incontainable. The whole concept of Sfira Soimer is a concept of today is not part of nothing. Today is one. Tomorrow is two. Showing that it's definitely containable and constricted and confined to this midah. What's the midah? Tisperu Chamishim Yoim. What happens at the end of the 50 days? At the end of the 50 days, we get the chokhma. We get the light, the seichel, the tvuna, everything that the Yidden got at Har Sinai. What korban did they bring to initiate this 50-day period? The oimer, the hakrova soimer, that's what started off the sfira soimer. What is the oimer? It's soirim, it's barley. The Gemara says, why barley? Barley is meichel behema. Barley is known to be meichel behema. Why meichel behema? Again, this inyan of tzimtzum, this emuna, that a person starts off, the hakdama and coming close to Hashem, is the emuna, the nun, the malchus, the tzimtzum, the saying, I am like a behema. Not that I feel I understand everything, I can understand everything. I start off saying, I know nothing. And with knowing nothing, I believe. The Nasa Venishma that the Yidden said at Har Sinai. With knowing nothing, I accept it. I believe. I start off with that. And I'm willing to climb within the Emuna these full 50 milos, these full 50 levels. And then the climax of that is Matan Torah. Now, where do we see Bedafka that the Shlemus of Emuna, of Malchus, is this number 50? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchusa Eliyolam Voed. Those two sentences are called Kabolas Oil Malchus Shamayim. Those two sentences have exactly 50 words, 49 words, corresponding to the 49 days of Sfira Soimer. With the Koilel, it's equal to 50. This is these 50 levels within the Malchus. This Shema Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, Kivoyit Malchus, Eloilam Voed, that's the Iker Malchus, that's the Iker Emuna, that's the Hakdama to getting to understand Hashem, to getting to see with our eyes. This is why the Arizal says that the word V'ahavto is Bigimatria Beis Pa'omim Oyer. The word V'ahavto is Bigimatria twice light, representing the Oyer of the Shtei Einayim, the two eyes. What do we do when we start? Shema is the climax of tefillah. That's the only part of tefillah that's midoraisa. That's the ikar shebikrin. What do we do in Shema? First, we start off closing our eyes. When do you close your eyes? When you don't know, when you can't see, when the light is too bright, when a person acknowledges that this is something I can't look at, I can't understand, I'm willing to close my eyes and accept it blindly. A person says, I'm going to close my eyes and jump in on this business venture. Why? It's too complex for me to figure out. I see that I can't understand it all. I'm going to take a chance. It looks good. I have a feeling that it's good. I'm going to close my eyes and take a jump. That closing of the eyes is the symbol of the emunah, the ve'erastichli be'emunah. And the minute a person opens his eyes, if he does that, for the right reason, what is he zeicha to? These beis pa'omim oyer. This vi'ahavta, which represents this madrega where the eyes are nispateach, it opens up, and the person is zeicha to see. We'll hold it over here for now. Time-wise, we must stop now. If necessary, we'll take any questions that people might have on this Torah next week and pass on Sunday, Mitzvah Shem, and possibly, I doubt that we're going to go into this much more. We're going to continue with the next Torah. The only thing we might add is the story. There's a story, an incident that actually generated this shir from Rabbi Nazal. Mitzvah Shem, next week, hopefully, we'll cover that story. It'll take only a few minutes. Mitzvah Shem.